Cape Talk. Improve your life.
Now today we want you to consider not just convenience in your own life, but also how to improve the life of the planet by adopting a more environmentally friendly transport approach. I'm joined in studio by Andy LeMay, who's the owner of eWiz Electric Vehicles, which is a local company specializing in electric scooters. We're going to be chatting to him about what it's like to drive one of them, why you should, what some of the questions are that crop up around their use. And I'd love to hear from any of you who have already adopted electric transport options, be it a scooter or a vehicle. Tell us about the experience. Tell us what you love about it. Tell us what the drawbacks are, if any. You can give me a call on 021-446-0567 or send us an SMS to 31567. Just a reminder that you can also leave a voice note on WhatsApp using the number 072-567-1567. Andy, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here, Pippa.
Tell us a little bit first about the background and history of eWiz. How long have you been around?
Well, actually, I came, you might tell from my accent, I'm English, but I've been here 10 years, and I started by starting a sustainability consultancy here, and we bought an electric scooter to run around in. Obviously, we're very concerned with the planetary side, with the emissions, etc. So that was 6 years ago, and ever since I've been hooked. Basically, I decided 4 or 5 years ago now that I wanted to focus more on the electric vehicles to give people the options to engage with the technology. I wasn't seeing the options there. It's all right talking about the theory, but how do people engage? So 5 years ago, we said, oh, let's get this going. Let's get it started. There's literally millions of these things in China that everybody runs around on them. But here, they're just really new. We're not engaged with it.
Millions of them in China. Interesting to hear that because, of course, when you think of China, we think of horrible air pollution problems. Is their uptake a response to that?
Massively. The Chinese government's investing enormously, for example, in electric buses. Let's say, I mean, the city of Cape Town's invested in some of the Chinese electric buses recently. They're buying around 10 of them, something like that. The city of Shenzhen invested in about 5,000 of them. You know, that gives you an idea of the difference. Okay. They're using electric vehicles for taxis everywhere. And the same is true, actually, in Europe. I mean, you see places like Norway. They're actually using things like Tesla Model S's as taxis because there's subsidies from our government in order to support. And the running costs are so ridiculously cheap that people just use them for this.
I noticed I was in France last year, and I noticed in Paris, everywhere I went, you would find a little block of 5 or 6 electric cars plugged in at a charging station. Which were kind of subscriber-based, pick up a car, drive it where you need to, and drop it off at the next charging station.
Absolutely. And the same is true all around Europe. Plenty of websites to offer you that online. A couple of years ago now, we went back to the UK and we hired a Nissan Leaf. It was £15 a day. And we drove all the way to Scotland and back and all the way around for free.
Wow.
There was no cost at all, and they had high-speed 30-minute charging. We're starting to get it with the Charge Now network here, but it's the lower-speed stuff, as far as I can see. But it is the start. But the ranges of these vehicles are increasing so much that, actually, do you really need it unless you're going on a longer journey? Most people would use their electric for local runabout stuff up to around 200 kilometers, which is easily enough for most of our journeys. So people say, well, it won't do 450 Ks. It won't go from here to Joburg. But
how often do you actually do that?
Well, exactly. Yeah. And let's put it this way. If you have two cars in your family, so you have an electric and you have a petrol vehicle, one is costing you almost nothing to run and you just plug it in at home. And the other one, you've got all the servicing, all the maintenance, all the fuel costs on it. Which one do you use? And the reality is when you get an electric vehicle, this range anxiety thing just disappears out of the window and you use the electric all the time.
And then on the odd occasion where you need to do the drive to Joburg, you use the petrol vehicle.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, in Nissan, in this country, what they were saying was if you bought a Leaf, you could basically go to the garage, you could swap the Leaf for a petrol vehicle, do your journey, come back, pick up your Leaf and off you go again. So they were trying to encourage that kind of space.
That headspace. Yeah. Of course, it's an expensive upfront investment to buy a vehicle like a Leaf or one of the other electric models. It's a very expensive car. Obviously, it pays itself back in the long term in what you save on the petrol and the running costs. But that's a big investment for people to make. How much does one of your scooters cost?
Well, just to talk on your car, the problem is that you pay luxury tax on the electric cars in this country. So we get no reduction in the fact that the electric cars cost a bit more. They actually sting us as if you would if you bought an M3 or Mercedes AMG or something like that. So you're paying even more for the vehicle with the VAT and the ad valorem and the import duties.
That seems counterintuitive. Surely government should be encouraging people to take up what is, after all, the most environmentally friendly the alternative.
Well, we did have an electric vehicle roadmap in 2013 that was supposed to be promulgated, but that didn't happen. But there is a lot of work. So there's an Electric Vehicle Industrial Association, which has been started, and that is trying to lobby government to change these things. Yes, the vehicles will pay back, but still the upfront investment is a lot. Mm-hmm. Although some secondhand ones are coming on the market, so Nissan Leafs for around 200 to 250,000, mm-hmm. which starts to look really nice. On the bikes, so our bikes are actually equivalent to named brand Japanese brands in cost, but then they are almost nothing to run and almost nothing to maintain. So you save an absolute fortune. I mean, against the fuel, for example, just take the fuel for a car. For 1 month's worth of fuel for your car, doing the same journey in the congested traffic in the morning, you can fuel one of these electric scooters for 3 years.
Wow.
That's the equivalent of 360 kilometers per litre.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even against an equivalent motorcycle, it's a year. So they're so cheap to run. It's incredible. And of course, zero emission. There are some emissions because of Eskom, but it's still a fifth of the emissions of running any equivalent bike and about a 13th of the emissions of running your car.
Okay, so is that the main reason? When people are coming to you as customer, what would you say is their main reason for doing so? Are you finding it's people who want to do what's right for the planet and have a low emission vehicle? Or is it people driven by the cost factor? Or is it a combination of both?
You know, it's a combination. Yeah. I think the cost factor is important. They can't be ridiculously expensive. And we've proved that these vehicles are about a half to two-thirds of the cost of running any equivalent thing, even the cheapest Chinese bikes you can buy. In fact, it's cheaper for them. It's cheaper to run the electric, even if they give you the cheap Chinese bike, because of the maintenance and the fuel costs that you're going to pay on these things. We do find people with a care, they want to do something in the environment. Quite a lot of people have solar systems, so they're really interested in the idea of being completely zero emission, so they can charge their vehicles off the solar. A lot of people are now getting annoyed, quite rightly, by the congestion which is happening. I mean, that is a serious effect on the productivity of South Africa. So, you know, the bikes are another great option for that. Let's get, you know, the only way we're actually going to get rid of the congestion is to get on public transport, to walk, cycle, run. You know, that would be nice. Or get on two wheels. And actually, I don't think there's anything faster for getting to work in the morning than one of our two-wheel bikes. And certainly nothing with as low emissions combination.
If you've just joined us late to the conversation, we're chatting to Andy LeMay, who's the owner of eWiz Electric Vehicles, talking about the uptake of electric scooters in the market. And I'd love to hear from any of you who are already using one or have contemplated buying one. Maybe you're someone who's already invested in an electric car and you want to chat to us about what you've saved on petrol, what the range is like, what the drawbacks are that you'd like to mention, if any. You can call us on 021-446-0567, or you can send an SMS to 31567. Amanda asking if we'll please podcast this. We'll do so with the greatest of pleasure, Amanda. Let's talk about the charging, because the one thing that people worry about is, will there be enough points where I can charge the vehicle, and how long will it take me, and how long will that last for? Where do you charge these scooters?
Any normal plug point.
You plug them in at home.
Plug them in at home, plug them in at work, plug them in at a friend's, and we've also got a charge network on our website. So you'll see a number of cafes, restaurants, that kind of thing, and that's a growing thing, where you can just go and plug in for free, have a coffee, all the rest of it. They cost so little to charge. It's about R1 an hour on average that the restaurateurs are loving the idea, and it's encouraging people to come. The vast majority of people do around 20 to 40 kilometers in a day. And actually, that's enough with the range of the vehicle anyway. So you don't even have to charge it at work. You can just go to work, come back and plug
in
at home. Yeah. So that's the thing. Just rinse and repeat that cycle. Never have to go to the gas stations again, which is great. Just literally drive home, put it in the garage, plug it in. In the morning, it's full. Even with load shedding, it doesn't really matter. It stops and then starts again afterwards. It doesn't damage it at all. So they've got intelligent chargers built into them.
And what is the range? Because obviously we've spoken about the fact that this is for zooting around the city, your trip to work and back, etc., very convenient. But should you need to do a longer trip, say, out to Stellenbosch for a meeting, is it capable of doing that in one go?
It depends on the particular bike.
Yeah.
Price is very directly correlated with the number of batteries that we put in the vehicle. So you take something like our Lightning 9, which is one of the top ones, the NX model. That does, on average, 150Ks. Actually, it'll do up to 250Ks, depending on how you ride. So that's easily enough to get to Stellenbosch and back. That's what we'd call a kind of an intercity kind of commuter, not city so much, but intertown commuter. Mm-hmm. Then we have things like we have two bikes which fit into the kind of extra urban. So if you're coming from Simonstown into town, Musenberg, or from mm-hmm. Tigerberg, that kind of thing. And then there's a city commuter. That's the Spark. That's the kind of entry level one, but still with 70 kilometers range, lithium batteries. You can part charge these things as well. So you don't have to fully charge them. We only do lithium batteries now, so that you can treat it like your cell phone. You just plug it in. If you just want to get an hour or something like that, you can do
you
that.
You can just top it up as it
You can just top it up.
So let's get a sense of prices. I mean, that entry-level Spark, what are you two looking at as a price tag?
So a 125 equivalent style bike, the Spark 3NX, is about 36,000. So that's why it's equivalent to a sort of Japanese brand. Mm-hmm. But then with these bikes, you've got no oils, no chains, no belts, none of that stuff. It's pretty much solid state. The rear wheel is actually the motor, and they have regenerative braking. Now, what that means is that you can slow, when you slow down, when you touch the brakes, the motor acts as a generator. It creates essentially friction, slows you down, and puts that energy back in the batteries rather than
you're actually recharging.
You're recharging while you're slowing down. Yeah. So going down hills and that kind of stuff, you're actually putting energy back in the batteries. That means your brake pads last 10 times longer. So you're talking about 20, 30,000 Ks from a set of brake pads. And these things already have 10,000 kilometer service intervals. So the Spark 3NX is about 36, and then they move up to around 42, 56, and then up to 100K.
What do you get for the 100K? I mean, extra bells and whistles.
That's the high speed kind of, you know, it's 120 Ks an hour. It's 250 Ks maximum range. It's 300 CC performance. Mm-hmm. It's a whole range of different things. Very, very nice bike for people commuting. And as I say, we've done an extremely comprehensive analysis on the cost of that. Mm-hmm. And we can give people an analysis based on their particular environment. And the savings are ridiculous, not just for the environment, but also for your pocket.
For your pocket, yeah. Mm. Andy, I mean, who's buying them? Are youngsters in their first job buying them? Are parents buying them for students, perhaps? Who's your average user, if there is such a thing?
It's such a mix. So yeah, we have students, we have retired people, we have people working a range. People working for the city, people working for private companies. It's anybody really who wants to save a load of money, who mm-hmm. wants to save a load of time going through the traffic, and wants to do something around the planet. You know, it's kind of a win-win. There's nothing less expensive than one of these things to run, and there's nothing with less emissions other than cycling and walking yourself. They're pretty amazing things, and they're fast and funny, and they've got reverse, would you believe it, so you can maneuver around on the hills and things.
We've got a WhatsApp in for someone who's just given it a bash, saying, "Hi there, I've just returned the Lightning 9 scooter after a lengthy test drive and absolutely loved it. I saved 30 minutes on my commute from Paro to Sea Point, the trip of about 30 kilometers, half of it on the N1, and I only needed half a charge per trip." Great feedback. Thanks, whoever it was who sent that. Rory asking, do you need a license to ride these electric bikes? I assume it is a motorbike license.
They're standard. They're homologated on the native system as normal motorcycles. So, yeah, you need
a
motorcycle.
Nothing specialized, just a basic motorbike license.
Yeah, you can do it with the learners. You can ride with the learners.
And a few people asking, where are they actually being manufactured? Are they built here in South Africa or brought in from elsewhere?
So we would love to build them here. If there are any investors there who have the will to engage in this space, that would be amazing. The most cost-effective way for us to offer the best value to everybody is to import the componentry from China. We do quite a lot of work on the bikes locally, mm-hmm. and we're developing systems locally as well to improve them. And our goal is to move to more and more local manufacture. Unfortunately, we just can't get the componentry at a reasonable price here at the moment.
Okay.
But we will.
I believe we've got a voice note to listen to. Let's hear that one.
Hi Pippa, I would like to know how safe the bike is, and also whether it can be used on the M3, on the N1, N2. Are there any limitations? I suppose that correlates with motor size or engine size, but I'd be very interested to know how it compares to the other bikes that you get on the road, or the other scooters that you get on the road.
Thanks for your question, Andy.
So the entry-level bike for the road does about 85 kilometers an hour and about 70 k's range. It's not the sort of thing you'd want to take on the N1 because the speed limit there is 120. Mm-hmm. for things like the just around town, you know, down to Hout Bay, in and around different towns, it's absolutely fine. Good for the suburbs, works really well for that. If you want something that you want to be going to go on the M3 and the M5 with, you need to be doing 110, 115 k's an hour. The M5 is actually limited to 100 k's an hour. So, you know, the sort of the next one up from the Spark, which would be the something like the Volt, that would be a good one to go for that. And if you need
Cape Talk, get off the bus.
No, not sure what that was. Sorry about that. You were saying.
And so, if you need something with a higher speed, and as you go faster as well, you use more energy per kilometer. Mm-hmm. So that's why you need the bigger batteries on the larger bikes as well. So if you're wanting to do sort of 115, 120 k's an hour, then look at the Lightning and the Thunders. Those are the ones for that. Safety wise, well, it's as safe as any motorcycle, really. The main thing, I teach advanced motorcycling as well, and the main thing that other drivers will see is your lights. So some people say, well, it doesn't make any noise. Well, there's an advantage with it not making any noise, and that is that you can hear everything going on around you. Mm. You're not distracted by the noise. There's no vibration either. They're completely smooth. So literally, they're twist and go. You're not having to mess around with gears. So you literally, you can just point it in the direction you want to go and twist and go. So we've recently imported actually a set of very powerful LED headlight systems, and we're going to be retrofitting them into the bikes as well. So that's one of the, you know, the improvements that we're making locally. So, I mean, a lot of people talk about its relevance to bicycles, i.e. they don't make any noise below about 30 k's an hour. That's true, but it's no different to riding a bicycle. Mm-hmm. So you just think, well, if I see pedestrians, then use your horn, right? It makes no difference. They can't hear you. Above about 30 kilometers an hour, you start to get road noise from the tires. Yep. And wind noise and that kind of thing. So people hear you.
The only remaining question, because we are out of time, is where do we find them? Where do we find eWiz scooters? If someone would like to come and try it out, take a test drive, where
check us out. It's eWiz, E-W-I-Z-Z, .co.za. We're down in the southern suburbs in Deep River. That's where our manufacturing and operations are. So, yeah, just have a look on the website, Google eWiz, E-W-I-Z-Z, or electric scooters, and you'll find us there.
Andy, thanks for coming in and enlightening us today. Great
thanks
to have you with
much,
us.
Thanks very much, Pippa.